Good morning. Coming up, the real-life Wolf of Wall Street, educating the masses for multinationals and workplace wonderlands. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessrte. But first, earlier this week, a former economic advisor to the President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, made headlines when he said that Ireland had been bullied by Germany, by the European Commission and the European Central Bank throughout the financial crisis. This is the view expressed by Philippe Lugrain. He is the author of European Spring, Why Our Economies and Politics Are in a Mess and How to Put Them Right. And he joins us now from London. I'm also joined here in studio by Dr. Eckhard Lubkemeyer, the German ambassador to Ireland. Philippe, if I could turn to you first. How was Ireland bullied?
Well, I think the treatment of Ireland was outrageous. In effect, the ECB threatened to force Ireland out of the euro unless the government went through with its foolish guarantee of all Irish bank debt. And the consequence of that is that Irish taxpayers have been lumbered with a bill of 64 billion euros. That's 14,000 euros for every man, woman and child. And that is deeply unjust.
That guarantee has obviously been hugely controversial, but in relation to this debate, it was a guarantee decision made by the Irish government alone. Are you saying that we didn't have to stick to the guarantee? We could have reneged on it?
It was a guarantee foolishly made by the previous government in 2008 when it realised the error of its ways and the implications for Irish taxpayers. It tried to backtrack and at that point the ECB, in effect, threatened to force Ireland out of the euro. So, of course, there's no question the original mistake was made by the Irish government. It is deeply unjust for EU institutions, the ECB in particular, to have forced the government to go through with that.
The European Commission came out fighting this week, Philippe, in response to your view in the book. We have a clip here from two European Commission officials. This is what they had to say.
These remarks reflect the views of a former temporary staff member who sadly chose not to contribute any useful or practicable input to the crisis response while he was employed here at the Commission.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. We are, of course, aware that Mr. Legrand has a book to promote and that controversial statements may help to sell his book, but that doesn't make these statements correct.
That's pretty full-on stuff there, Philippe. What's your response to that?
Well, it's really funny because they said exactly the same thing when I was interviewed by the Financial Times criticising austerity, so they could at least be more original in their response. I mean, attacking the man rather than dealing with the issue, I think shows that they know that they're in the wrong in this. And in terms of my role in the Commission, I was headhunted by the President himself. I was brought in there to provide an alternative perspective because he realised that the Commission had both failed to predict the crisis and was incapable of tackling it. So, I feel that those remarks are rather funny.
Eckhart, the analysis, the thesis here is essentially that Germany did not want German banks to lose a lot of money through their exposure of holding bonds in Irish banks. That in turn influenced and set the tone for the European response to the banking crisis in Ireland in particular, and we ended up with a 64 billion bank bill. Simple as that.
Simple as that, but wholly untrue. I have yet to see evidence, hard figures, for example, relating to the funding of Irish banks by German banks. In fact, what I have seen, and this is the only really plausible paper that I have seen so far regarding the funding of Irish banks during the boom era.
Well, I can provide the figures if you like.
Sorry. Can I just
one sec, Philippe? There,
Maybe I can refer our listeners at least. I suppose Philip has seen the paper, but it's a paper issued by the Central Bank of Ireland, and basically what it says that the bulk of the foreign funding did not come from German banks, but from UK banks, for example.
So the German banks were not massively exposed.
Certainly
to
not. I mean, if this had been an issue that had, in a way, informed our policy throughout the crisis, it would have been a lot cheaper for the German government to directly bail out the banks rather than doing it via Dublin. But let me assure you, I am not aware that this was an issue that determined our policy throughout the crisis. In fact, our policy has been a policy of solidarity towards this
country. Okay, I want to bring in Philippe there. What do you say to that? There isn't any evidence that, you know, German banks were heavily exposed to the Irish banks in the first place.
Well, if you look at the figures from the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank, a central bank, has the best banking statistics, they show very clearly that the exposure of German banks to Irish ones in the third quarter of 2010 was 42.5 billion euros. Second to that was British banks with 27.5, and third was French with 12.3. So perhaps the ambassador should look at official statistics. He is right, of course.
Sorry.
He is right, of course, that we would have been much more transparent had Angela Merkel's government simply bailed out German banks. But that obviously would have been politically more difficult for her. And so instead of that, we engage in this subterfuge of lending to not just Ireland, but Greece and other countries as a covert bailout for those banks.
Philippe, just on that point, right, from a European Central Bank perspective, a European Commission perspective, if they look back at it, they can say, well, hold on a minute. The European Central Bank gave 150 billion at one point in emergency funding to the Irish banking system, keeping money in the ATM machines, tens of billions in a bailout loan. How is that bullying?
Well, first of all, the ECB is meant to be the central bank of all countries that use the euro and of all citizens in those countries. So the fact that the ECB was doing its job and providing liquidity is welcome. The fact that it overstepped its mandate and behaved in a nakedly political manner by threatening to force one country out of the euro, thereby depriving the citizens of that country of the right to use their currency, is clearly outrageous.
If it is outrageous, perhaps Mr. Legrand can provide some evidence. I'm not a spokesman of the ECB, but I have yet to see substantiation to this assertion that the ECB ultimately threatened Ireland would have to leave the Eurozone. In fact, the policy of the ECB, but also the policy of the member states throughout the crisis, has been to keep the Eurozone together. We have done this in not only for the benefit of the individual countries. I'm quite willing to admit that this was and continues to be in the very best interest of Germany to keep the Eurozone together.
You talk about the ECB, Eckhart, there. I mean, there are some written examples. The late Brian Lenihan, who was Minister for Finance, who introduced the guarantee, gave an interview saying that prior to the guarantee, Jean-Claude Trichet in the European Central Bank left a message for him saying, save your banks at any cost. Michael Noonan, as the current finance minister in 2011, when he proposed introducing haircuts and reducing the amount of payout on senior unsecured bondholders, it's been claimed and published that Jean-Claude Trichet in a telephone call told him, if you do that, a bomb will go off and it won't be in Frankfurt, it will be in Dublin. Now, I know you're not a spokesperson for the ECB, but that's very, very strong language in the circumstances, isn't it?
It would be if it were true. All I'm saying is, this is for the ECB to comment on and to clarify. It's not for me. What we have done as the member states, in particular as Germany, is to support the crisis countries throughout the crisis in order to enable them to recover. And I may recall that Ireland was given a rescue package of 65.5 billion, 40 billion of which came from the EU. From the Eurozone, and its member states. And who is the anchor of the Eurozone? It's Germany. So we are behind this rescue package.
Philippe.
Ireland was given not only this solidarity in terms of the 40 billion, but what you also got, what the country also got in terms of support. And again, I'm not saying this, we are doing this because we are altruistic.
Sure.
No, we want to keep the Eurozone together.
Let me put that to Philippe. Germany has held the whole show together and bailed us out. We lost you there for a sec. If you could just say that again, Philippe.
The crisis was primarily caused by the bad lending across borders of German and French banks. And when banks went bust, Those banks were first bailed out at a national level, after that we engaged in covert bailouts through the rescue packages for Greece, Ireland and so on. And as a result, and this is the tragedy of it, the bad lending of private banks became obligations between governments. And so a crisis that could have united Europe in a joint effort to curb these almighty banks instead has divided Europe, pitting creditor countries against debtor countries, and with EU institutions becoming instruments for creditor countries to impose their will on debtors. And in the case of Ireland, it is pretty clear a third of Irish debt is a result of the unjust imposition of that bank debt on Ireland.
You believe we could get that money back? How?
I think the Irish government has leverage to demand official sector debt relief. First, when there is any big decision requiring unanimity on which Germany is particularly keen. And second of all, even more obviously, when there is next a treaty change that requires a referendum in Ireland, at which point the Irish government can credibly say this referendum will not be passed unless debt relief and justice is given.
But is that not akin to throwing the toys out of the pram? We might actually be acting against our own interest. What if the treaty change is a good one that might be good for Ireland?
Well, it's a question of playing hardball and defending Irish interests. I don't think there are few things that are more beneficial to Ireland than reducing the $64 billion unjust debt burden.
Eckhart, what about that? In order to make the bigger country sit up and take notice, the next time there's an EU treaty, we should vote it down until we get our money back.
That's for this country to decide. I'm not going to comment on that. What I will say, first of all, just maybe if I could just briefly go back to the origins of the crisis. I think Mr. Legrand has a very short-sighted interpretation of what really caused this crisis. Yes, there was too much cheap money involved. Yes, there was too much lending involved. Yes, there was too much cheap money that was being brought into this country. But the root causes of this crisis go far deeper than that. This, in this country, in other countries, was a bubble economy. It was a triple bubble that burst. It was a construction bubble, a property bubble, and a banking bubble. And then it turned out that actually there was a big hole in public finances when the bubble burst. So we, the Eurozone as a whole, but this country, we have to address these root causes. And the ultimate root cause is we just lived beyond our means. And I'm speaking from experience because Germany was in a crisis in the first half of the last decade. We had to do some very painful social and economic reforms in Germany in order to recover. Germany nowadays is the anchor of the Eurozone because of these painful reforms that we had to implement before the crisis broke.
That overspending didn't have anything to do with the bank debt.
Sorry?
The overspending didn't have anything to do with the bank debt. The bank portion of the debt is a separate issue, isn't it?
No. The banks, I mean, this money that came into this country, that fueling the credit boom, for example, was basically because you couldn't print it. You are a member of the Eurozone. It was brought in from abroad through the banks.
Okay, Philippe, do you want to come in on that?
Well, first of all, there is no comparison at all between what happened in Ireland and between what happened in Germany. Germany did not suffer a banking crisis.
At the
beginning of the century.
A structural crisis, just like this country.
There isn't a structural crisis in Ireland. It's precisely what has bedeviled the crisis response is the belief that the whole of the Eurozone was suffering from Greek-style problems and needs to be reshaped in Germany's image, and that just simply isn't true. And in terms of the funding of Ireland's bubble economy, you can see the biggest source of foreign finance were German banks, followed by British banks.
Germany played
a key role. Now, nobody is saying that Ireland shouldn't suffer as a result of the bad mistakes made in Ireland. The question is whether the bad mistakes of the banks should fall on Irish taxpayers exclusively, and the answer is clearly no. And it's clearly that if German banks lend to Irish banks, which then go bust, then, as with any bad loan, that German banks should bear the losses for that.
Eckhart.
And if in turn the German government wants to bail out German banks, then that is the decision of the German government.
Eckhart.
Oh, that's true. I would agree, in a sense. But again, we can dispute almost endlessly about which banks brought which money into Ireland. According to the again this paper of the central bank, the bulk of the funding up until 2008 was brought came from the UK. But this is harking upon the past. What is more important is the response to the crisis. And this country, I'm not saying that Ireland is had a similar or has a similar crisis than the one we had in the first half of the last decade. What I'm saying is that this is a structural crisis that grows deeper than just overspending and overlending in this country.
I'm afraid we won't have time to resolve it and debate it endlessly this morning, but I'm sure it's a debate that's not going to go away. Philippe Le Grain and Ambassador Luke Meyer, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.